Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this Independence Day Eve, July 3rd, 2024. Today, we have a returning guest on the program. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and the author of the 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity, who will address preaching, what it is, what it should contain, and how it should be presented. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. Can you hear me, brother?
I barely can, but it's good to be back with you.
You can barely hear me. That's odd.
Sometimes I can hear you and sometimes I can't.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Brother Joe, for the sake of our listeners who have not yet heard you on the program, please provide for us a brief description of Heritage Presbyterian.
All right. My church is Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, which is the county seat of Forsyth County, a county just north of metropolitan Atlanta. We've been in existence for about 10 years and have continued to grow. We are a congregation largely of young adults, but not just young adults. We have every age and every background you can imagine. And our church is dedicated to the original Westminster standards. We're dedicated to the Great Commission, and our church does a great many things to be as faithful to the Great Commission as we can possibly be. We're involved in preaching trips to Mexico and Cuba. We have conferences. We have many, many things that we do, Bible studies, and it is a great group of people that I count it a privilege to be their pastor.
Well, praise God. If anybody wants more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. For more details on Dr. Moorcraft's 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism called Authentic Christianity, go to westminstercommentary.com. westminstercommentary.com, and for all of Dr. Moorcraft's books, of which he has written many, go to comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. Well, if you could, Dr. Moorcraft, since our subject is preaching, and this may seem like a no-brainer, but obviously there is a failure in the church today on this very topic, where this the true meaning of the word and the concept is grossly neglected or not conducted in any meaningful way at all. But if you could define preaching for us.
I don't know of any subject that I would rather talk on than this subject. It's one of the most important subjects that anybody can talk on, that the church needs to hear about, that preachers need to hear about, because preaching has failed in this country. It's all, preaching has always been one of the most powerful instruments in North America for good or evil. For the first centuries of our country, it was the most powerful instrument for the good. Now, for the past 100 or more years, it's been one of the most powerful instruments for evil in this country. I don't think that is an exaggeration. I have heard a lot of preachers, and I realize how deficient preaching is in this country on all kinds of levels. And the, one of the most important things about preaching is to understand its theology and to understand what it does and what it's capable of doing in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a passage in Romans that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall you call upon him in whom you've not believed? How shall you believe in him whom you've not heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach unless he's been called? So to me, that is an inspiring passage of scripture. It says that you can't call upon the Lord, you can't worship Jesus as God unless you believe in him. And you can't believe in him unless you've heard him, unless you've heard his voice. You see that many times in the scriptures. John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So Christ's own voice is to be heard in the faithful preaching of the gospel. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And where is God, Christ's voice to be heard? And how shall they hear his voice without a preacher?
Amen.
Now, what's interesting is that the Greek word for preacher hardly ever occurs in the New Testament. In fact, it does not occur in our text. It's not a noun. It is a participle. And what our text says is, how shall they hear without a preaching one? The emphasis in Scripture is not on the one that does the preaching. The emphasis is on the faithful preaching of the gospel itself. And when that gospel is preached faithfully, the Lord Jesus Christ himself preaches through it into the hearts of men. That should be a great comfort and a great encouragement to preachers.
Amen.
And a great encouragement to members of the congregation.
Amen.
That you go to church, not to hear the preacher, but you go to church to hear Jesus preach. So what America needs more than anything else is two things: a preached Christ and a preaching Christ. The content of our sermons must focus on the person of Christ. And when that happens, the resurrected, reigning Christ from God's right hand by the power of the Holy Spirit preaches the congregation through the weak, frail preaching of men. And it is a great truth to be cherished and to be loved. Preaching is, you ask me, what's the definition of preaching? That's an interesting question. There is a difference. The Bible does make a difference between preaching and teaching. Those are two entirely different words. but they are obviously connected. Preaching does involve teaching. It involves exhortation. It involves counseling. A preaching is to be done by one who has been called by Christ himself to preach. It's interesting that in the New Testament, ruling elders are not said to preach. Church members are not said to preach. Elders are to be apt to teach. But the only people in the New Testament that we find proclaiming or heralding the Word of God are those who have been called by Christ himself to preach that Word. And I think if I were to define the distinctives of preaching, it would be in terms of passion and power. A faithful preacher of the Word of God is faithful to the Bible. He teaches the Bible. He exhorts the congregation from the Bible. He encourages the congregation from the Bible. But when he does all that, he does it with a passion, an observable passion, and a spiritual power that only the Holy Spirit himself can produce. One of the first, in fact, the first book on preaching that made a great impact on my life many, many, many years ago is a book called The Relevance of Preaching. It's by a French Calvinist who lived in the late 20th century. His name was Pierre Marcel. And whereas there are several other great books on preaching and longer books on preaching, this book has meant more in my life than any other book.
Wow.
Because it emphasizes the fact that preaching includes a spiritual unction, a spiritual empowerment that is far beyond anything man can produce. So that when I go into the pulpit, I am very conscious of the fact, as Calvin said, that we are standing on the throne of God and that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to speak the Word of God. And here's the thing we learn, and that is whatever Jesus preaches happens. Write that on the inside of your eyelids. Whatever Jesus preaches happens. In the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus preached peace, but then it also says that he brings peace. It says that Jesus preached about his kingdom, but then he says that his kingdom comes in the preaching of the Word of God. It says that Jesus preaching repentance. And then it also says he brings repentance. So whatever Jesus preaches happens. We come to church and we pray, Lord, I don't want to be impressed with the preacher. I want to be impressed with Jesus Christ. And I want him to bring about in my life whatever I need to be done, have done to me. So when we talk about preaching, we're talking about a very spiritual thing. We're also talking about something that's not otherworldly. To say that it's a very spiritual thing is not to say that it is not related to this world. Preaching is the spearhead of Christian Reconstruction. God has called us to preach, to practice the Great Commission, to bring the discipline of the Word of God upon the nations of the world, to bring about political revival and reformation, economic, family, education, all those things. But the sharp point of the spear that brings everything else with it is the preaching of the Word of God. So whatever else we're doing to work toward revival or reformation or renewal or reconstruction or whatever you want to call it, whatever we're doing to try to accomplish those goals, we will get nowhere unless the emphasis is on the preaching of the living, reigning, ruling Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was preaching to a group of preachers, Presbyterian preachers, one time. And I asked them, how many of you know the verse, I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified? And of course, they all raised their hand saying they did know that verse. And then I said, well, there is no such verse in the Bible. There is no verse in the Bible that says, I determined to know Jesus Christ crucified, as if the focus of preaching is the cross. What it says is, I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ, comma, and Him crucified. So the focus of faithful preaching is not even the cross, as important as that is, and as important as it is to emphasize it and to explain it. But the focus of faithful preaching is the living, reigning, ruling, ascended Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the only Redeemer of God's elect.
Amen. Now, tell us how what you have just described with great fervor and power, tell us how that is different than the multitudes of pastors, even within our circles of theology, that ascend into pulpits every Sunday and give a very calm and audibly quiet lecture, even if everything they are saying in that time from behind the pulpit is true and biblically faithful. What's the difference between what you just said and the man that lectures a message from the pulpit?
I don't see, that's a very important question. I don't see, after having just explained to you what the focus is, I don't see how anybody can get in the pulpit and preach the focus on the living Christ as if he were dead.
Right.
Boring, sound, but sound asleep. But that's the kind of preaching we have today. The kind of preaching you go into some of these churches, and the preacher's just as dead as he can be. One time I went to Texas to visit my father, and the only Presbyterian church in town, which is Texas City, Texas, the only Presbyterian church in town was a liberal one. So I knew I wasn't going to like it. So we walk in the door, and the deacon hands my little daughter, a bag of toys to play with during church. Well, that made me mad right off the bat. And then the preacher comes in, and he starts preaching, and I ask for a bag of toys. The only good thing about liberal preachers is it that your sermons are short? But it's not just the liberals. I mean, we've got plenty of liberals that waste time in the pulpit. But we also have people, evangelicals, and even some in the reform world, that don't know how to preach. We have a lot of reform preachers that are celebrity-oriented. Their main approach is to preach, wear their flashy coat and tie, and preach, and so that they maintain their celebrity status. Somebody asked me not long ago who my favorite preachers were, and they thought I was going to mention the big ones, the celebrity ones. And I said, oh, you don't know them. There are men that pastor small churches that faithfully expound the Word of God Sunday in and Sunday out. The celebrity preachers, they say some good things, but they really are not preaching sermons that change cultures. And that has disturbed me for a long time, because even our good guys, even the faithful preachers, don't preach culture-changing sermons. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean several things, but one thing I mean is look back through history when preaching was what it ought to be, and when Reformed preachers preached in such a way that by the power of God, they changed cultures. They changed men's lives. And one thing that Presbyterians and Baptists quit doing, but I think Presbyterians even more quit doing it, in the 1800s and even in the 1700s, they quit preaching through books of the Bible. You read the sermons of the great Presbyterians of the 1800s. James Thornwell, Dabney, Charles Hodge, etc. I hate to say this, but none of those men preached regularly through various books of the Bible. They preached on subjects. The subjects they preached on were great. But that's not the kind of preaching that changed culture. You look at Reformation preaching in the 1500s and 1600s. You look at the preaching of people like Calvin and the rest. They preached through books of the Bible, paragraph by paragraph. And that changed all of Northern Europe in less than a generation. But preachers don't do that much anymore. I'm not sure what all the reasons are. It requires a lot of effort. I will tell you that. You really got to work to preach through a book of the Bible and then go and preach through another one the next time. There's nothing easy about it. There's nothing simple about it. But it's that kind of preaching. Expository. Now, what I mean by expository is more than just taking a text and explaining it. By expository, I mean, I preach by paragraphs. I preach through this, because paragraphs, you know, are unified by one particular emphasis. That's the unity of paragraphs, that they have one particular thing they're emphasizing. So I preach by paragraphs. I preach by this paragraph, go through it, explain it. I use the Greek all I can. I use the Hebrew when I can. I'm not that good in Hebrew. But I use the Greek whenever I can. And I would encourage people, and this is going to be radical. I encourage people that whenever you call a new preacher, make sure he knows Greek. If he doesn't know Greek, his sermons are not going to have the richness and the power, the energy, the life, the correctness that would be in the sermons of somebody who understood Greek. Because you can read something in English, in the English New Testament, and when you study Greek, it says something greatly different. So you preach by paragraph, go paragraph by paragraph, and explain the main point of the paragraph. Make the point the way the paragraph makes the point. Use the illustrations that the paragraph uses. Include the doctrines that are included in that paragraph. Don't just generally preach a paragraph. Drain it dry. Draw every truth you can from that paragraph. And then once you, and don't read into it anything. You just read, preach what's in that paragraph. And then when you apply it, your job's not done when you've applied the point of the paragraph practically to individual Christians in the congregation. It's not done until you've preached applications to individual non-Christians in the congregation. And your work's not done until you have applied it culturally and not just individually. I was talking to a great preacher whom I love and respect. And he was talking about the great Scottish preachers of the early 1800s. Well, there were some good Scottish preachers in the 1800s, but most of them all had the same flaw. And that is, they didn't preach to the cultures. What this man said, one good thing about these Scottish preachers is they never mention current events in their sermons. Well, that is right. In that, most of them did not. And that's what made them anemic in their preaching of God's word. In another dear friend of mine, I invited to speak at a preaching conference I had. And I asked him to speak on Samuel Davies, who is probably one of the two or three greatest preachers ever produced in North America. And this dear friend of mine was not a Christian Reconstructionist. He knew we disagreed on things, but I figured he couldn't do any harm preaching on Samuel Davies. So he's preaching on Samuel Davies, and he says this. He said, the strength of Samuel Davies, and he was preaching to a room of preachers, the strength of Samuel Davies is that he didn't mention current events in his sermons. Well, I just smiled because I loved him, and I didn't want to publicly say I disagreed with him or anything. But during the question and answer period, I said, Brother so-and-so, do you have the three volumes of Samuel Davies' sermons? He said, yes, I do. I said, so do I. Those are great sermons, aren't they? He said, oh, they are great. And I said, those first two volumes of evangelistic sermons, you can't beat them, can you? He said, no, sir. And I said, in that third volume, That was some of the best political preaching I've ever heard, read in my life. And all he could do was smile. That was Morton Smith. So, now, I don't mean make your sermon secular.
Right.
I mean preach to the whole of life, to the whole man in the whole of life. Because Jesus is not simply a personal Savior. He's a cosmic Savior. I'm teaching our people going through Genesis and Exodus. And I told them what I thought was the emphasis in the book of Genesis and Exodus, particularly Exodus. 2 points Moses makes. Jesus is the Savior of God's covenant people and the Savior of the world. He came to be the only Redeemer of God's elect, and he came to bring the blessings of the covenant to every family and nation upon the face of this earth. I think for so many people today, our gospel is truncated. It is so small and so broken. But that's one of the reasons that our preaching doesn't have the effect that it could have in this culture.
And we have to pick up where you left off when we return from our first commercial break. If you'd like to join us with a question for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, on top of the monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com automatically provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, they are still giving us, on top of that, 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you have any intention to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it's a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry or something that they have in stock in the realm of jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com, whatever it is, please, we urge you to go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase of jewelry, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Even if you're not making your final purchase today, please get the ball rolling by going to royaldiadem.com today. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and we are talking about preaching. What is it? What should it contain? And how should it be delivered? And we have Annabelle in Sugar Hill, Georgia, who has a question. And Annabelle says, when there may be people, perhaps even especially Reformed people, who accuse you of teaching a social gospel, even though it's conservative, how do you respond to that charge?
Well, that's a good question, and I have been accused of that, but I'm not. I am the enemy of the social gospel. The social gospel is a gospel that was invented, a non-gospel, that was invented in the 1800s by liberals, by the way. It was not invented by Calvinists. It was invented by liberals to bring about social change based upon their view that man is basically good and perfectible, and we can change man by creating state-supported compulsive education and control the various aspects of society, i.e. socialism. So I'm as far away from being a social gospel person as you can imagine. What I do believe, however, is, as I've said a while ago, the spearhead of our preaching is not politics, it's not economics, it's not even the family. The spearhead of our preaching is the living, reigning, world-conquering Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was exactly correct. I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. If we start anywhere else, we'll get off track. But back in the, you can watch the gospel of preaching change through the years. And as it changes in various ways, it gets weaker. When preaching ceases to emphasize Christ, it becomes weak. And that's what happened to much Presbyterian and Episcopalian and Methodist preaching in the late 1800s, early 1900s, is they started focusing on purely secular things and did not emphasize the centrality of Christ and the authority of His Word. So preaching pretty much died in liberal churches. In conservative churches, it died in that they limited it to personal piety instead of emphasizing that it applies to every area of life. Whatever the Bible asserts to be true on any subject is true. Whatever the Bible says happened, happened. It's divinely authoritative on everything about which it speaks, and it speaks about everything. And that's one of the great emphases of the Westminster Confession of Faith. It has all sufficient authority. So that when I was very, very young, I was in seminary, and I went to an American Baptist church in West Virginia. They're called Northern Baptist, and they've been liberal for a long time. And the preacher was trying to help me as a young seminarian. And so he said to me, Joe, I think I'm going to quit preaching. Well, that was a shocker. I said, how long have you been preaching? He said, I've been preaching about 6 years. I said, well, why are you quitting preaching? He said, because I don't have anything else to say. I've said everything I needed to say, and I wanted to say, and I don't have anything else in the Bible to say. Well, I looked at him, and I was just a reading seminary student, but I thought, man, the Bible has all kinds of things to say that you hadn't even begun. And I think it results from the fact that he no longer believed in the divine authority of the Scriptures. So preaching has faded in very, and I think it's Satan. Satan wants preaching to fail because he knows that preaching is the divinely empowered instrument that God uses to bring down all those high places raised up in rebellion against God. And so we have parents, preachers must preach in their pulpit on Christian education and how responsible parents are to educate their children and take them out of the public schools. They've got to teach them about how to create a nation and how to think in terms of creating nations and to renew our minds by the Scriptures in everything about which it speaks. There's just so much. I was talking to another good friend of mine who has a publishing house, and he has published a lot of great English Puritan books. So I went to talk to him one time, and I said, Brother so-and-so, are you going to publish any more Puritan books? English Puritan. He said, we published them all. There's no more. He said, there's no more to publish. And I personally myself knew of hundreds and hundreds of English Puritan books preached to Parliament that he hadn't even dared to publish, because they're not a spiritual preaching book, writing books and preaching sermons to politicians. Some of the greatest sermons I ever read were preached to Parliament by John Owen and various others. So I think one of the failures of preaching has been the failure of understanding theology, understanding the gospel. We've lost the gospel in all this. Evangelicals do not realize that the gospel that they believe is true, by and large, is the gospel of medieval Roman Catholicism. And you can see it in their writings. It is not what was preached in the Reformation. It was what was preached in the Middle Ages by the Roman Catholic Church.
In fact, pick up where you left off. Pick up where you left off after we return from our midway break, brother. That's a very, very important point. And if anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic, and in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Potofuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to highlight some books by Samuel Davies, or about Samuel Davies, because of the fact that my guest today, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, had mentioned Samuel Davies as one of his favorite preachers from history. First of all, you can get from solid-ground-books.com Samuel Davies, Apostle to Virginia, by Dewey Roberts, with a foreword by my friend Jeff Thomas. And there is also a book that features a compilation of chapters by different authors, both from the past and more recent modern history, called The Risen Christ Conquers Mars Hill, Classic Discourses on Paul's Ministry in Athens, and that includes a chapter by Samuel Davies, the 18th century preacher, and also a chapter by a 20th century preacher who I know is greatly loved by my guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, the late Dr. Greg Bonson, and there are quite a number of other authors whose chapters are included in this book, The Risen Christ Conquers Mars Hill. And there's also a book that I'm sure will bless you it's a three-volume set, I should say. The Sermons of the Reverend Samuel Davies in three volumes. And you could get that at an extraordinary discount all from solid-ground-books.com, and I would go to that website, solid-ground-books.com, type Samuel Davies into the search engine, and you'll be able to order all of those items that I mentioned. And a multitude of other books are available from the 16th century Protestant Reformation all the way up through the 21st century, including books never brought into print before by such authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, as we continue our conversation on preaching, I have some very important announcements to make. Folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in a real frightening financial situation. We had a sponsor of the program who committed to recommit themselves to sponsoring the show for a year, and we were depending upon that fairly substantial sum of money to come in weeks ago, but due to a crisis of their own that they are facing that was unforeseen, we may have to wait until August or even later than August to receive any of that money. So we are really in a bind. We are between a rock and a hard place, as they say, financially, and we're not even sure where our rent for August is going to come from. So I'm asking you, please, if you have never given to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio before, please today make your first donation. And if you've given many times, maybe you give every month, please make today, if at all possible, your largest donation to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And you could do so by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you desire to advertise with us, as Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia does, well, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We can use your advertising dollars just as much as we could use your donations, which are both urgently needed. Keep in mind, as urgently as we do need your financial help, and as desperate as we are for it, I never want anybody in my audience giving less money to your own local church where you're a member in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. In other words, don't cut into the money that you have set aside and reserved for your Lord's Day giving to your own church. Don't cut into that money in order to send us a financial blessing. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible is clear that we're primarily to use the money with which God has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're to primarily use that to provide for church and family. And providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love the show and you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you don't want us to go off the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I have helped people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if you are in that situation, you do not have a Christ-honoring church where you are a member, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And right before the break, Dr. Moorcraft, you said something quite startling, that there were 19th century Protestants, if I'm not mistaken, who were actually preaching medieval Roman Catholicism from their pulpits.
Yes, sir. In fact, 1619 is one of the great moments in the history of the Christian Church, because the Synod of Dort, D-O-R-T, in Holland, met to try and test the man and his followers who were preaching a gospel that they thought was different than the historic Protestant gospel. His name was Arminius. And so they condemned him. They said that he was preaching something contrary to the Protestant Reformation, and they expelled him and all of his followers from the ministry. But most evangelicals today believe was condemned as heresy by the Synod of Dort. And we don't even know it. We've gotten so far. So we need to study theology. We need to study what the Bible really teaches. Study the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger catechism, the shorter catechism. And one other thing I wanted to bring out was there is a Greek word that is used in the New Testament with reference to evangelism and preaching and teaching. And that is a word, parousia. And parousia is usually translated boldness or plainness of speech. So that true evangelism, true preaching, always includes boldness in setting forth the truths of the gospel. Which reminds me of one of my favorite stories about Samuel Davies. Samuel Davies was invited to preach before the royals in England. And he goes and he preaches, and in his audience were powerful men and women, and even the King of England himself. And as Samuel Davies was preaching, the king got bored and started talking to the queen. And the royal people that were in the room were embarrassed, but there's nothing they could do. So Samuel Davies tried to continue to preach as long as he could, even though the king was talking the whole time. So after a while, Samuel Davies stopped preaching to the embarrassment of everybody in the room. The king didn't notice that he stopped preaching. He was busy talking to his wife. So after a while, the king realized that Samuel Davies had stopped preaching, so the king quit whispering. And then Samuel Davies looks at the king, one of the most powerful kings in all the world, and he said, "Your Majesty, when the lions of the forest roar, the animals in the forest keep silent. When the king of all the world preaches, the kings of men keep silent."
Wow.
And so the king quit talking.
Wow.
And that's the kind of preaching we need, powerful preaching.
And there was no...
It's not afraid to insult. It's not afraid to turn people off. It doesn't do it on purpose, but the Bible speaks about the scandal of the cross. And so we must not do anything to ameliorate that scandal. The Bible says the gospel is a savor of life unto life and death unto death. And so if we try to preach in such a way to keep it from being a gospel of death unto death, it will no longer be a gospel of life unto life. So preachers of the gospel must be courageous men, not afraid to put their lives on the line.
Were there any negative consequences to Samuel Davies after rebuking the king like that?
I don't think so. He was an American. So, and it was before the revolution, so there was not much they could do. But Samuel Davies is one of my favorite men. I even own a book that was owned by Samuel Davies.
Wow. And we do have another listener question for you. Let's see. We have Frankfurt in Berlin, New Hampshire. And Frankfurt asks, how do you seek to convince Arminians who accuse Calvinists such as yourself for denying Romans chapter 10, 14 through 15, and they seem to act as if we do not believe in the absolute essential nature of preaching?
I did not understand that, so ask me again.
The listener was basically asking that how do we combat the false accusation of Arminians that we are denying Romans chapter 10, 14 through 15? How then shall they come on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? There is a common, as our listener is saying, there is a common slander against we who are Reformed theologically, that we deny this, that our system of theology, since God sovereignly chooses whom he will save, and he regenerates those whom he will save prior to their faith, that this somehow negates the necessity of a preacher.
Well, if it wasn't for the sovereignty of God, it wouldn't be a use preaching. Somebody asked me, why pray if God's not sovereign, if God is sovereign? And my answer is, why pray if he's not? And without the sovereignty of God in control of everything in all of life, causing everything that he has planned to work together for good to those that love him, there's not much use in preaching. Because then preaching would be something entirely produced by man, empowered by man, and it would be useless. Only a sovereign God, only a sovereign Savior can cause to happen everything that he preaches. Whatever Jesus preaches happens. That can only be said of a sovereign God.
Amen. Hallelujah. When it comes to the Reformed understanding, the sovereign grace understanding, for lack of a better term, using the nickname Calvinist understanding, even though we believe our teaching that we cherish is attributed to Christ and his inerrant word, and John Calvin was only a vessel that helped to beautifully clarify that message in the 16th century, but when it comes to our understanding of preacher, doesn't or shouldn't it, I should say, give the preacher far more boldness because he is not worried about cleverly trying to convince people of something. He's just preaching.
That is true.
Amen. Well, if you want to continue.
That is true. Let me recommend your audience some books by for their preachers on preaching. The one that I mentioned earlier called The Relevance of Preaching by Pierre Marcel, They Will Love Forever. Also, Lectures to My Students by Charles Spurgeon.
Amen.
It's such a great book. Also, Preachers and Preaching Martin Lloyd-Jones. I don't agree with everything Martin Lloyd-Jones says, but there are some great things in that book, Preachers and Preaching. And one of the best books that I know of in helping preachers preach, develop a sermon, develop applications, and it talks about all the mechanics of preaching, is by Robert L. Dabney, called Sacred Rhetoric. It is such a great book. And I have a series of sermons. They're in my commentary on Larger Catechism called The Reconstruction of Preaching, in which I try to go through every aspect of preaching to help the preacher learn how to do it. How to go from exegesis, that is expositing scripture, to the actual application of scripture to the audience. Every aspect of the mechanics of preaching. And that might be useful for you as well.
And let me recommend that our listeners go to cvbbs.com, who sponsored this program, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, to order those books. Now, it's interesting, the Pierre Marcel book, the only source I know for that is an independent publishing of it. Do you know of any other?
No, it is... the last time it was produced in English would be in the 1980s. So it would be hard to find. It's not a long book, but it is a great book.
It is available on Amazon, and it's independently published. So, well, can you please, I know that some of our listeners may be wondering, who are your favorite living preachers today? I know that you've had a lot of criticism against modern preaching, but I know that they're...
Well, like I said a while ago, you wouldn't know them. They are faithful.
Maybe I would.
Yeah, you would know them. They are faithful preachers of small churches that expound the scriptures book by book every Sunday. They have very small churches. One is Wayne Rogers.
Oh, yeah. I've had Wayne on the show. And Wayne... Wayne preached at the church where I was a member on Long Island.
Yes, sir. Peter Bringy is another great young preacher and has a very small church, but his preaching is extremely faithful and powerful. Chris Strebel in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
He preaches faithfully Sunday by Sunday. So if you're going to go find a church where the preacher knows how to expound the Word of God, paragraph by paragraph, book by book, get in his church, encourage him, because that's the only kind of preaching that's going to do you any good.
By the way, when you mentioned Peter Bringy, are you speaking of the pastor of Covenant Family Church, the OPC Church?
I am, yes, sir.
Yes.
Have you ever had him on your program?
No, but I'd like to, and if he's listening, I'd like
to. He's great. He spent the weekend with us the other day. He's a great young guy, and he knows how to preach.
Well, I will contact him. And for our listeners who are wondering where that church is, it's in Wentzville, Missouri, Covenant Family Church, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Wentzville, Missouri. But I know of one famous preacher that you like because you've mentioned him on my show before, and that's Vody Balcom.
Oh, Vody Balcom is great, a black man, as you know. Faithfully and boldly preaches the Word of God. One time he and I were preaching at the same conference on the sufficiency of Scripture. And after I'd preached, I went to sit down to rest. And I felt this dark presence behind me. And it was Vody Bachum. And he said, "Joe, if you were only a Baptist, your theology would be perfect." I think he is the greatest black preacher alive in the United States today.
Yes, he should.
And not only the black preacher, but he's one of the greatest preachers today.
Amen. And he takes a lot of heat, even from conservatives.
Frank Brito, who lives in Brazil, whom our church supports.
I've had him on the show.
He's also a great preacher.
I've had him on the show.
Yeah, he's a great preacher in both Portuguese and English. And he's reaching thousands of people in Brazil. So there's a lot of good things going on today. And another guy you've had on your show is Paul Abbott.
Yes.
Paul Abbott's a great Reformed Baptist. And he, so there are some great preachers out there. They are great because they know what preaching is. And they're faithful in expounding the Word of God, paragraph by paragraph, book by book. And they do it boldly and without embarrassment. And their concern is not pleasing men. It's pleasing the living God.
Amen. And don't theologically faithful men have to remember that it's not only the liberal men who are tickling ears with false teaching or with candy-coated preaching. There are even Reformed men who are very careful about not giving an offensive message to their audience.
Yeah, I know. Right.
And could you tell us what have been your own particularly favorite sermons that you've preached, with what the themes were, and perhaps maybe even more specifically, what you've heard from your congregation have been those?
Well, I have, of course, I've been preaching for many, 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 many years. And I have hundreds of sermons on sermonaudio.com. And some are better than others. But the ones that have blessed me have been the ones where God worked while I was preaching. See, God doesn't stop working in a preacher's heart when he leaves the study. God continues to work in a preacher's heart while he's standing up in a pulpit preaching. And some of the greatest things I've learned about the Lord, about the gospel, I've learned while I was preaching. And which is interesting, it humbles you, because some of the things I've learned, I didn't learn after a long study in exegesis. I learned while I was in the pulpit. And God does not stop teaching a preacher when he's in the pulpit. He continues to preach, continues to teach him and lead him and use him. One time I had a sermon, I was prepared a sermon to preach, and I had it all. It was a good sermon. It was well worked out. It had a good outline and everything, and I was happy with it, except when I went to bed, I wasn't satisfied with it. And so I went to bed thinking I was going to preach on the subject that I had announced, but I wasn't satisfied with it. So early in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning, I got up and prepared a completely different sermon because I wasn't satisfied with the one that I had prepared. Now, that doesn't happen very often. And so after I preached the sermon that I wrote in the middle of the night, I went to the door going out of the church building. And there was a young woman that came out. I'd never seen her before. And she came out of the church and she took my hand and she said, "Pastor Moorcraft, I want to thank you for that sermon, because it was a very good blessing to me. It's answered a lot of the questions that I had to ask." And so she gave me this piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, which you written in the middle of the night, were all the questions that she had about some issues in the Bible. And that what she had written on the paper was the outline of the sermon that I worked out at 4 o'clock in the morning. That she had, God had led her to our church to ask me questions. I didn't know who she was, but to ask me questions about the Word of God. And there was the sermon that I had prepared.
Praise God. Your
So God works. God works even in the pulpit.
Amen. Your precious wife, Becky, highlighted on social media today a recent sermon of yours, the Book of Revelation on the Fall of Rome. You want to give us a summary of that sermon that we should look up on Revelation 14, 6 through 20?
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed preaching Revelation because it's such an important book and such a practical book. And it's got to be understood if we're going to understand the role Christ plays in this world today. Preaching, I love preaching. All of my sermons are about an hour long. I don't necessarily recommend that because If you don't have a reservoir of truth to draw from, then your sermon will just be a repetitive statement of truth after truth. So I'm not recommending that you've got to preach for an hour. You've got to have a reservoir of truth, so that you can preach, and everything you say in that sermon will be fresh and not boring and repetitive.
Perhaps we could have you back on the show at some point to actually specifically address the theme of that message, since your wife loved it so much, the fall of Rome, from that text, Revelation 14, 6.
Yes, sir. It's such a great book. And it's not that difficult once you know the basic outline and basic thing. The best commentary on the Book of Revelation has never been written. It is CDs by Greg Monson. So go to Greg Monson. Get his CDs on the Book of Revelation and listen to them over and over and over.
And do you know the source for that? Since, of course, Dr. Bonson's in
there. What is the name of that new thing called the Bonson Institute?
That's run by Apologia Church in...
That's the one. That's where you can find it.
Tempe, Arizona. And if anybody wants The website for that, it's apologiachurch.com. Apologiachurch.com. It's in Mesa, Arizona. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they provide that those resources for free.
Yeah, that's great. Oxon was such a great preacher. Every word he used was carefully chosen to make sure it was the right word. He was a good preacher. He wasn't just a lecturer or a scholar, but he was a good preacher as well. There are some good preachers out there. I don't want to discourage people. There are some very good preachers out there. They're not famous. They're not celebrities, but they are concerned with faithfully expounding the Word of God paragraph by paragraph, and God blesses them for it.
And we have to go to our final break.
Don't go to the celebrities. Go to the people that aren't famous and that are not celebrities, and that's where you'll find the truth.
And we have to go to our final break, so don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Welcome back. And I want to remind our listeners, if you are a man in ministry leadership, don't forget that the next free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon is going to be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. We are featuring for the very first time Dr. Joe Boot, who is a prolific writer, and he is a highly sought-after conference speaker and the founder and president of the Ezra Institute. And if you would like to attend this free event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Not only is the luncheon itself free of charge, but you will also receive, by attending, a heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. All of it is absolutely free of charge. So, if you'd like to register, send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And we're now back with Dr. Moorcraft. And Dr. Moorcraft, we have Andrew in Greenlawn, Long Island, New York, who has a question. And Andrew asks, earlier in the program, you were saying that preaching is not adequate unless it includes current events. But if you're going through expository preaching and the texts that you are dissecting and exegeting do not contain anything involving a current event issue, how are you supposed to include the current events in that message? And also, And his second part is, and how is this different from the dispensationalist preaching we often hear, where current events are often brought up?
That's a very good question. And the answer is, don't read anything into the text that's not there. For instance, Isaiah said, here's a very political statement. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died. So you have Isaiah beginning a whole paragraph with a political subject, and that is the death of the current king. You have, all through Scripture, all kinds of political statements. In Exodus Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. You have all kinds of civil laws that apply to political, every area of life. In Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, etc., and all those historical books, you have the prophets addressing one king after another in his administration. And then in Proverbs, you have a king teaching his son how to be a good king. And then in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, etc., you have prophets addressing kings and calling them to repentance. And not just kings of Israel, but kings of other nations as well. And then in the New Testament, you have a verse that I love to quote over and over again by Jesus himself. When he's on trial by Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate asks him a question. Jesus has already been on trial by the Pharisees, and they've asked him theological questions, but Pilate's not concerned with theology. He's concerned with politics. And so he says to Jesus, "Are you a king that I should be intimidated by?" And Jesus said, "I am as you say." And then Pilate continues to talk, and Jesus says, "And let me tell you why you should be intimidated by what I say. Because my kingdom is not of this world. It's of another place." Now, he's not saying that Jesus is, his kingdom is not concerned with life on this planet. It's not a statement about the nature of his kingdom. It's a statement about the origin of his kingdom. My kingdom does not originate with man. It originates in heaven, in another place. So, Pilate, you better be worried about my kingship, because it's not based upon man. It's based upon the living God, and the weapon that my kingdom uses is the weapon of truth. And then you have Paul in his epistles, like in 13th chapter of Romans, or 1st Peter chapter 3, where Paul gives the classic explanation of what civil government means and how it relates to Christ. And then, of course, you've got the great book of Revelation, which is how King Jesus destroys the enemies of Christ in the first century. Apostate Judaism, anti-Christian Rome, because Jesus is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So there is this all through Scripture, it's not just once, but all through Scripture there is this emphasis on how the kingship of the living Christ relates to the kings of this present age. And so it's not just concerned with private individual instances in this life. It's concerned with individuals, but it's also concerned with kings. And we as Christians must understand that powerful preaching takes the Bible as its authority, takes the Bible as its example, preaches on how men can be converted, how Christians are to live in this world, and how kings are to act as kings before King Jesus. One time I was talking to a congressman in Georgia, and he was a Republican, and he thought I was more influential than I really was. So I asked him, how are you going to represent King Jesus in the courts of this land? And he said, I've never been asked that before. And I said, well, I knew you hadn't.
Huh.
The Christians must be courageous. They must be bold. They must understand that Jesus is the only Redeemer of God's elect, the Savior of the world, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we must never present him before this world as anything less.
Amen. And as far as Andy in Green Lawn, Long Island's question about how your strong counsel to include current events in sermons, how is that different from the same thing that is practiced by dispensationalists? I'm not saying they're doing exactly what you are recommending, but they are very often bringing up current events in their messages. And it's even been nicknamed newspaper evangelism, headline evangelism, that kind of thing.
Very good question. The difference is they don't have any answers. And I do. The difference is that all they can do is make statements about what's going on and not have any real conclusions to offer the world. You remember when David went to build an army, he went to the sons of Issachar because they were men who understood their times and who knew what to tell Israel to do. If we have the answers because we believe the scriptures, and we tell people what the answers are, and they're not the normal answers they get today from the newspaper, we will see a change of power from them to us because they have no answers. But we have answers in the Word of God.
And of course, many times, if not most of the time, when premillennial, pre-tribulationalist preachers are quoting from the headlines of the day, they are connecting it in an erroneous manner to the return of Christ, which they are typically claiming, at least the rapture, which is involving two returns of Christ, but they're typically connecting it with the belief that Christ is coming very, very soon within our lifetime and likely within the year in which the man is preaching.
Yes, sir. That is the difference. And the dispensationalists and their people have a view of the future that just will not hold. That we believe that Christ is reigning now and that at some time in the future he shall come again to complete what he has established. Dispensationalists have no hope. They don't offer any real answers. They just tell you to wait till Jesus comes. And he'll burn everything up and start all over again.
Now, there is a blessed inconsistency, though, because not all dispensationalists do that, even though their eschatology might dictate that they should. But and I have to reiterate, I do have heroes of the faith that are dispensationalists, but I am not personally one. And Dr. Moorcraft, it is always a joy having you on the show. And I want to repeat to our listeners the websites that are very relevant to you and your ministry. First of all, to find out more about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. To find out more about Dr. Moorcraft's 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism, go to westminstercommentary.com. westminstercommentary.com. And for all of Dr. Moorcraft's books, you can go to comprehensivechristianity.com. Comprehensivechristianity.com. Dr. Moorcraft, I look forward to your quick and frequent return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I want to thank you so much for being such an exquisite guest, as you always are.
Yes, sir. My privilege.
And I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to have a safe and blessed and Christ-honoring Independence Day celebration with those you love, hoping that you do evangelize those that you know and love during the celebration who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I look forward to returning to the show on Friday. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.